What is up, conscious monkeys? Welcome to another episode of Traveling to Consciousness. I am your host, Clayton Q. Terry. Today, I am joined by a manifestation coach, but no ordinary manifestation coach. One that was named by Yahoo Finance as one of the top 10 life coaches to look out for in 2021. And although it's 2022, she must have made her splash. You may know her on TikTok or Instagram as the Quantum Blonde. Conscious Monkeys, welcome to the show, Lindsay Rose. Lindsay, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here. And just, I know we're going to have such an epic conversation. I'm really excited to be doing this with you.
Yeah. And I mean, it was crazy because when we do the initial meet and greet, I could like feel it within like 5 or 10 minutes. It was like just the excitement or the energy that was there in the conversation. I was like, I had to like bottle it up. I was like, Lindsay, we got to stop. Like, we got to save this for the podcast.
Let's pause.
Yeah. So, and that even just resumed in our initial like green room conversation. Mm-hmm. And what was the topic that we were going to jump into was the idea of whenever the student is ready, the teacher will present itself. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's a theme that you're experiencing right now in your life and mm-hmm. really something that I've been experiencing as well recently.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think just having gone through a difficult patch in my life, just unexpected turn of events within my relationship, just going through a breakup and everything. And I was just, you know, sharing with you that these experiences sometimes, like, we have to take the focus off of the other person and really turn it around and look at ourselves to understand why we end up in certain situations or have certain experiences that repeat themselves in our lives, because it's ultimately that these people come into our lives to reflect something to us that we need to learn about ourselves, that we need to deepen, or we need to learn to love ourselves more, or, you know, set boundaries or whatever that might be. And I think that you really are empowered in your growth when you can sit there and really look at yourself and say, why did I attract this experience? You know, why is this in my life? Why is this happening right now? And instead of playing the victim role, which is very easy to slip into in difficult times, but instead of going that route to just say, what can I learn from this? Because this person came into my life as a teacher, as painful as it might have been, it was a teacher for me because there's something I have to learn to get me to where I really need to go.
And that's such a fascinating thing to hear you say, because kind of reading your bio, you know, that's not really, I guess, the first time you've kind of felt this energy or mm-hmm. been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. Was there something that kind of like shifted your mindset away from this? And I don't know that you ever had a victim mentality, but like, it seems like kind of you've had enough things occur in your life where it could very easily cultivate a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. Is there something that kind of shifted you away from that?
Yeah, I would say the turning point in my life was when I was in like a really, really toxic, it was like 5 years ago. And it was the relationship that really shook me. And up until that point, I really was deeply rooted in victim consciousness. I had grown up, had a really difficult childhood. I never really felt that I was loved or wanted or accepted. And I was just searching for some form of love and acceptance my whole life. And I never felt like I was good enough. And I had one of the greatest teachers for me was like this horrific relationship that I was in that was abusive on many levels. And when I left that relationship, it was one of those moments where I said, you can either continue down this road and keep experiencing the same level of pain and abuse, or you can do something about it. And it was like one of those moments I had with myself where, you know, whatever you want to call it, higher self, God, I don't know, whatever resonates with you, it was like kind of shook me and said, you are in control of your reality. No one else is doing this to you. You are in control of this. And it's up to you to make the change. It's up to you to stop, you know, repeating these cycles and these patterns. And you get to choose that today, or you get to continue to have these experiences and the lessons coming, or you're going to learn, but it's up to you. And
was that like an intuitive sort of download, or yeah. was that something you read, or like, did it keep like just screaming at you? How did you hear that?
It was, so I got to this point where I like literally was one of those moments where I was driving home from work, I remember, and I was like, I could just really easily swerve my car over and like, it could be over and I don't have to deal with this pain anymore. And then something just hit me. I remember just being in my car. I was like, yeah, that's the easy way out. or you can face what is happening to you, and you can really get honest with yourself, and you can start to make the change. And going back to when the student is ready, the teacher appears. After I may had that realization, I started, like, things started popping up for me. Like, Abraham Hicks was kind of the gateway drug for me into manifestation and understanding that I was creating all of this. And from there, I was led to, like, Wayne Dyer and Eckhart Tolle. And it was like one after the other started just aligning for me. And it started to click. And I was like, oh my gosh, this has all been a reflection of me. Nobody else's fault, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy how, you know, you have that like click and then everything sort of just starts to, that rabbit hole just expands for you. It's like, check out this person, check out that person, yeah. You know, and it like, it just keeps opening.
Yeah, it was. It was like a portal. I was just like,
it was like a portal.
It was literally, I went into this and I started to realize, like, I don't know if you've had these moments yet, but I started to realize I would think about something and then I would see it. Or I would think about someone and then they would text me. And I was like, what is going on here? And that was kind of what opened me up to wanting to understand like the universe and law of attraction on not just like kind of the woo-woo level, but like, how does this actually work from a quantum physics perspective? Like, why do I think about things and then I see them physically manifest in reality? Like, what's going on here? And that was really fascinating for me too.
And to touch on your thing, like I actually experienced that yesterday. Like when you're in this place of almost loving creation and flow, like those things just kind of happen. And that happened to me yesterday because I was chilling. I was making some bacon. I was like in just such a great place because I was like journaling, you know, just mentally in a good spot. And I was making steak and I had like a hot skillet in the oven. And so I needed to pull it out. And well, my mind was like, okay, there's this very specific oven mitt that I had in mind that I've used before. And I opened the cover and as I open it, it just fell right into my hand. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
you're in the flow.
Yeah. I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah. That's when life gets good. It's just like, you realize you don't have to try so hard. You don't have to make up all these stories about reality. You know, I think that's what a lot of it is that we make up all these stories about how hard it is or about how difficult the healing process is or, you know, how challenging life is. Like, I remember one of the things my mom used to say was life sucks and then you die. And it was just such a depleting, you know, even though it's just words, it's like it really does. When you have that perspective on life and these are the stories that you're saying and you're expecting things to be that way, that is what you get. That's what you get. So,
And that's kind of how I've been starting to view the world. Like, when you hear people who say those kinds of things or feel those kind of ways, I'm like, you know, a portion of it almost doesn't resonate with me and there's a resistance to it. It's like, wait, you're missing something here. Mm-hmm. Like there's this feeling of like, no, there's more to this. Like, yeah, I mean, life isn't always sunshine and rainbows, but even me just saying that, isn't that just a reflection of the way I see the world and therefore I'm right? Like it's like the world's like this almost self-fulfilling prophecy where if you truly believe something, like who the hell am I to tell you you're wrong? Because it's like, we're that powerful where it's like, you're right. You're like, that's it. Yes. You're right. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. I don't know whose quote that is, but it's true. It's like, whatever your expectation is of reality, whatever your expectation is of people, you know, and to take full ownership of my own experience and this past relationship, there was a part of me that expected this person not to stick around. You know, I had had a lot of abandonment in my life and I had a lot of reason not to trust or believe that anybody would really follow through with what they said they were going to do. And I think internally, like that was an expectation that I had. And whether or not I manifested that or I manifested someone to validate that for me, you know, it's the chicken or the egg, but it really is. It's something that you have to go, okay, this happened because I expected that this was going to happen on a deeper level, you know, either conscious or subconscious. It was there.
Is there something that you're kind of trying to like work with to kind of heal that or integrate that? Like, is there a way you, and maybe this kind of leads to a bigger question and I'm interested in your specific answer for, you know, your situation, but the bigger question is like, you know, if you're trying to manifest something, like let's say a car or a house, mm-hmm. you close your eyes, you think about it, you do what you got to do, mm-hmm. but then you open your eyes and it's not there. So you have this like almost gap in, you have this gap in, you know, the manifestation versus reality. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious how that kind of relates to your specific situation where, you know, you, it's almost like there's like a conscious belief of it being there, but then the subconscious comes in and it's like, nah, like you're not ready for that, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if there's something you do to heal that or to try to, you know, resolve that within yourself.
Yeah. I think like everything that, and it's the most difficult thing for people when they're manifesting is because you're visualizing it, but then you look at reality and you're like, well, this is reality and I don't have the thing that I'm manifesting. And so it introduces this vibration of lack. And, you know, I think like, if you can just realize that everything right now in your life is old energy, it's old creation. This isn't where you currently are. This is old energy. This is old thought form and your most dominant vibration up until this point. So to me, this whole experience has said to me, like, your dominant vibration has been disbelief that another person can actually be trustworthy. Another person isn't going to betray you. And even though consciously I had done a lot of work on myself and like really deepened my self-worth and my self-love, there's only so much you can do without someone triggering the shit out of you.
Right.
There's only so much you can do on your own. You have to have somebody kind of poke at those wounds to say, oh, that's still there. You know, thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for doing that for me, because I wouldn't have been able to have known that. And I think consciously or subconsciously, I called this person into my life because I needed him to say, you still have these wounds you've got to heal. If you really want to be loved, if you really want to have the depth of the relationship and intimacy you're looking for, these are the things you've got to heal. And I'm the right person for the job because we have very similar wounds. And I'm going to mirror that to you. Right. So it's all perspective. Like, it's very easy to think like, oh my, I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. And, you know, I wasn't thinking the right way or I had poor belief systems. Or you can just say, this was a gift and I'm grateful for this because now I get to step into more of who I am.
It's almost that shift between like a pessimistic and an optimistic mindset.
Exactly.
Exactly. And something that you said, which I love how this universe works, because I was literally just having a conversation with my parents about this, because all these things I'm kind of learning, I kind of just reiterate to them mm-hmm. to, you know, we get a lot of our traumas from our parents mm-hmm. and like our upbringing. And so it's like, all right, if I can acknowledge it in myself and I can send that to my parents, then it's like, that's like the ultimate healing in my eyes right mm-hmm. now, at least. Mm-hmm. And something we just talked about this morning was how you talked about this gap between, you know, that state of being, and that's the vibrational energy that you've sent out. Mm-hmm. And what the book I've been reading is A Pocket Full of Happiness, or A Happy
Pocket Full of Money.
Happy Pocket Full of Money.
So good. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really good. I'm, you know, halfway through it right now. And something that, you know, the guy talks about in there is he talks about how, you know, there's your state of being, and then there's your thoughts and emotions, mm-hmm. and then there's the external world is mm-hmm. kind of how he breaks it down. And I don't know if he specifically said it, but the way that it was worded and the way it resonated with me was that you create that state of being, that state mm-hmm. of being influences your emotions and thoughts, mm-hmm. and then that gets projected into your outside world through actions. Mm-hmm. And so for you to, like you're saying, you change your state of being, mm-hmm. but it's not like, you have to maintain that state of being based on that outside world coming back from your old state of being. Mm-hmm. It's like this ocean and these, you're propelling these waves and these frequencies out into the world. And it's the mirror. It's like you said, it's a mirror. It comes back to you. Mm-hmm. It might not be as instantaneous as a mirror, but once it comes back to you, you need to hold that state of being that you previously held and realize like, no. Like, that's the old frequency. This isn't you anymore. You know, like, you're kind of, I don't want to say past this, but that's your old self coming back at you.
Yes. It's data. It's just information for you to say, okay, that's old thought, but you have to, I think Joe Dispenza says this, but you have to be able to think greater than you feel. So you have to be able to look beyond what you're currently experiencing and stop giving your attention and focus to that, because otherwise you're going to just keep perpetuating the same experience. And that's why visualization is such a powerful tool, because when you visualize, your subconscious mind doesn't know whether it's actually happening or not. You're having the same physiological response in your body. You're having the same emotions of that thing actually happening for you. So when you visualize, you move yourself literally into that state of being in the reality that you want to experience. And so when you're in a difficult patch or you're in a reality experience that you don't want to experience, your greatest asset is your imagination. It's the really that portal to the possibility and the vibration of what you're seeking. And the more time you can spend in that energy, the faster it will materialize for you.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's like the whole crux of it, right? Is like, you know, becoming so aware of your emotions that no matter what the outer vibration or your past vibrations that you've put out into the world, mm-hmm. if you're able to confront those as quickly as possible, because I know there's times where like you get these little sparks of anger, something mm-hmm. happens, you get frustrated. Mm-hmm. But like you're saying, the quicker you can be like, whoa, 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 like that got triggered from your old state of being. That's mm-hmm. no longer who you are today. Mm-hmm. Like the more you can do that over and over and over, the quicker that your manifestations, your desires, your whatever your frequency is that you're aligning with comes to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the way that you react. It's really not about the outside world and the situations going on. It's your response to it. It's the reaction that you have to it. So I think most of our power lies within that, like just millisecond before we respond to something, before you take an action, before you express something, to just really pause and say, where is this coming from? Why am I responding this way? Is this actually in alignment with what I want to create for myself? Is this conducive to the state of being that I want to experience? And if you can just stop yourself in that moment and choose a different way to respond, that's literally how you collapse timelines and you shift yourself on a quantum level, because you're not doing things the same way that you normally would do them. You're making a different choice. And that's really right. How you speed things up from a manifestation perspective. You do things differently. You take different action. And even if
you feel different,
you feel different. Yeah. Like even if you do have an emotion, like, you know, I have anger come up. Sometimes I have sadness come up, and the best way to release it is just to feel it, but not to identify with it, not to attach a story to it, not to make it mean things about you or about reality, but just, okay, I'm identifying that I'm feeling sad right now, and let yourself feel sad. And then refocus yourself and say, okay, well, what feels better in this moment? You know, you don't necessarily have to jump from being sad to ecstatic, but you know, if you can move from sad to hopeful or just kind of like, you know, neutral, you're making progress in the right direction.
And what was like kind of screaming through my head when you're talking about that is I believe everything you're saying, and we can look at it even from a physical level, like where there's people who will like walk along coals, mm-hmm. like with their feet, like hot coals, mm-hmm. and they get to this meditative place. And when they're in that deep meditative trance, they're able to walk across like, I don't know, 50, 100 feet of like burning hot coals. You know, anyone picks it up with their hand, it would just blister it, burn the shit out of it, mm-hmm. but they're able to walk through it. And that broke my mind. I'm like, how the hell does that happen? You know, I came from a very analytical background. It's like fire's fire. It burns everyone the same.
Right.
But what I realized is that what they were doing is, since they were in such a deep trance, the fire was just flowing through them. The energy was just kind of going in their feet and out their head, essentially, right? And so what this has translated to in the physical world is like, if you burn yourself, you have this instantaneous knee-jerk reaction to want to stop it. Mm-hmm. Like the pain has to stop. So what happens is your mind gets into it and essentially bottles up that energy into a specific location, mm-hmm. and then your finger's going to blister, and then that blister, you know, is going to go through the whole healing thing. However, if the second you get burnt, you're like, oh, I got burnt, but you allow that energy to flow through your arm, to flow into your body, and, you know, let's say mm-hmm. out your head, it's not going to manifest as this blister on your finger. You're not going to go through that pain for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there's a strong correlation with what you were just saying there with everything about the emotions. Like, yeah, you can feel sad, but don't block it. Don't hold it in your body. Let it just flow through you.
Mm-hmm. Like transmutation of it, yeah. Right? It's like because every emotion is really, it's one energy filtered through a story, through a thought. right? So right. the sadness that's coming out of you, it's filtered through a thought that you have. Like there's something that you're thinking about that is now you're saying, oh, I'm feeling sadness. I'm experiencing sadness. And we just have this natural inclination to want to move away from pain into pleasure. And that's why most people don't want to feel the pain. They don't want to feel the feelings. They'll quickly, you know, fill it with alcohol or another relationship or whatever, because they don't want to actually feel the feelings that they have. And then it becomes suppressed emotion, like you said, and it gets stuck in the body. And then people experience dis-ease, you know, there's joint pain, stomach pain, heart pain, like it has to manifest in some way. And you really just have to let that emotion move through your body as an energy without making it mean something, like I said, about yourself.
Instead of like letting it like impede or like become trapped.
Become an identity, right? A lot of people say, I am an anxious person, you know? It's like, or I am depressed. It's like you have just identified yourself with an emotion that isn't meant to stay. It's meant to move through you.
Right.
You're supposed to be liberated by it.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful way to kind of put it. And even just, you could even touch on just the I am statement as a whole, because that's so powerful in its own rights. It's like, you know, me even saying I am Clayton, it's like, are you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you mean that you are, you know, someone? But then even to attach that to a feeling, I feel like it's a huge blunder in and of itself. And even furthermore, I said this one time on the podcast, like Descartes, he said, I think, therefore I am. And I feel like that's even a huge blunder on a societal level as well. It's like, you know, you're not because you think. Like, you know, an animal is, but it doesn't think, it just is, you know? And it's, I feel like it's more like I am, therefore I am. Like, it's almost like something that language can't even describe.
Yeah. I am that I am, you know, it's just you decide that. We decide who we are. I mean, it's really the construct of the ego more than anything that wants to identify as something. And the idea that it isn't something is what, you know, causes the ego death, because we have to like compartmentalize ourselves into these, I am Lindsay and I have this and I do this and that's who I am. But I think we really truly find ourselves when we lose ourselves, when we lose that identity, you know?
Which is pretty beautiful, right? Because something... And I guess this kind of relates to politics, but I feel like majority of politics is predicated on a divide and conquer strategy, where if you can create somebody to identify as another, right, you now have a perpetuator, you have a victim and you have a perpetuator. And so, you know, even from that level, it's like, you know, I, this might sound weird, but it's not like I am Clayton and it's not like, you know, I am someone else, but it's like, you know, there's this level of oneness where it's like, I am Clayton, but I'm also Lindsay, but I'm also this house, but I'm also this microphone.
Yeah.
And so it gets like to this weird level of like, well, you know, how can you identify as anything?
Yeah. That's it. I mean, that's enlightenment, right? Like when the wave realizes it's the ocean, like we're all part of the same thing. And that's, I think that's when you can really feel unconditional love, is when you realize that you are the other person.
That's the crux of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You are me. I am you. What I do to you, I also do to me, you know, especially at a subconscious level. I find it fascinating when we wish ill will towards others, or when we speak things about other people that are negative or mean, the subconscious takes you literally as that's what you want to experience for yourself.
Right.
So envy, judgment, hatred, projection, rejection to other people, you're doing that to yourself.
And I think that's, I know my mom said this a lot whenever I was a kid, not sure your situation, but it's the whole, like when you point a finger at somebody, three are pointing back at you. It's like, you know, it's even replicated in the Bible. It's like, why would you, it's something like Jesus said that, like, why would you point out the speck in my eye, but not acknowledge the log in your own? It's like, if you're in a place to cast judgment or point out somebody else's flaw, it's like, what's the other saying? There's another saying where it's like, it takes one to know one. It's like the reason that you can identify that, or that you would cast judgment into this world about it, is because you have that within yourself. You're unable to integrate that, or, you know, be one with it, or to just allow it to be.
Yeah. That's ultimately the shadow. That's the rejection of self. Like when I work with people, that's one of the things that we dive into. It's like, I'm like, tell me what you judge about other people. Tell me what annoys you the most about people, because that is a part of you that you have disowned. It's a part of you you haven't accepted about yourself. Right?
That's a beautiful way to start that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. If you can really be, and it takes radical honesty and humility and compassion for yourself, right? Because it's really never about blaming yourself. The things that you've learned, you've picked up because somebody told you they were true. Somebody, you know, rejected these parts of you and you didn't really know how to process or integrate that at that time in your life. Mostly like when you're a child, right? We don't have this ability to discern what people are saying to us. We just say, oh, that must be true about me. And then we learn to reject these things in ourselves. So we judge them in others because somebody said it wasn't okay for us to be that way. So why is it going to be okay for you to be that way? I can't accept that about you. You know, and we just project.
It reminds me of like, you know, in the developmental age or developmental stages of like a kid's life where, you know, between the ages of 0 and 7, there is basically no analytical brain whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Probably around the age 7, it's probably starts to develop, but it's like, you're literally just a sponge. Mm-hmm. It's like, you are literally absorbing everything that is now going to be the blueprint. Unless you, you know, do these steps, if you were to just never acknowledge it again, you're just going to fall into this like habitual state of repetition because you have been literally programmed by your environment, by your parents to carry out these things that, you know, are who you're going to identify with. It's your I am statements mm-hmm. that you're just repetitively telling yourself throughout your head for 90 years.
Yeah. I mean, everything, the way that your parents, their perspective on money, you know, the way that their relationship was, the way that you watch your mom speak to herself, you think that that's the way that it is. Like everything that they're sharing with you, not just your parents, but your caretakers, the peers that you have, like everything, you're literally, that is the foundation in which you create your reality, is based on all the things that you learn from 0 to 7. And you will notice as you get into your adult life, things will happen that feel very like patterns, like you're having the same experiences over and over again, attracting the same partners, you know, ending up in jobs that aren't fulfilling, not being able to pay your bills. Like these are coming from those, like you said, the blueprint of the structure that was built within you as a child. Literally, you were programmed and you
it's
can
like
change
the foundation.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing is that we can change our brains.
And this is like making me think of like a pretty solid analogy now. It's like, you know, that subconscious is almost the foundation of a building and you've built all these layers on top of it. Right. But mm-hmm. what starts to happen is when you go through this process of enlightenment or just self-realization, you have to start shaving off layers of that building mm-hmm. in order to get down to the foundation of like, oh, like that's where my unworthiness was coming from. It's like, oh, that was actually sexual trauma that I haven't dealt with. It's like, you know, and so you have to like just move all this stuff and then start from the ground up in a sense. You're like, mm-hmm. I think they call it Dark Night of the Soul or something, mm-hmm. Where it's just like, let's clear it out and we're just going to build something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everything that you're experiencing, 95% of what you create is subconscious. You're not even aware of it. So you could consciously want something for yourself, right? Like, oh, I consciously want to be really wealthy. I consciously want to have a fantastic relationship. But then subconsciously, you're not allowing that for yourself. You're not allowing that to happen because like you said, you know, you've got these beliefs that you're not worthy. You know, maybe your dad left when you were really little and you just felt like you were not worthy of being loved. So even though you want it, you're never going to let it in. You're going to sabotage it because at the core, you don't feel that you're worthy of it, you know?
Right. And you have to like really, and it takes a huge level of realization to kind of even just get to that point where you're like, oh, yeah, this was because of that. Mm-hmm. And something I've noticed that I always have found a very fascinating thing is like, you can really kind of jump into your present moment to find those things mm-hmm. because I'm sorry if you can hear my dog in the background. She's going crazy right now.
It's feeling the energies.
Yeah. We're hitting a good spot. That's usually what that means. But you dive into that present moment and this kind of touches on how everything's happening right now, right? Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, if there's a sense of anger or emotion, we could even use her barking. Like, how could she that she's barking in the middle of my podcast to, you know, record? But all that is a like a pre, what's the word I'm looking for here? A preconditioned emotion of anger towards somebody else impeding my ability to create, let's say, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, And then you can kind of trace back that emotion if you get to a deep place of meditation,
yeah,
where you realize that this emotion has occurred in sometimes 15, 20 different areas of your life. And you're like, oh, like this is just my conditioned reaction whenever I feel this emotion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it stems back to that first initial experience that you had where maybe you didn't feel heard. You didn't feel like you were understood. You were seen. You were rejected. And it's really the inner child part of you that is coming out in the adult form because it was never heard. It was never met. Its needs weren't met. It wasn't validated. And so a lot of the work that we have to do is really reintegration with the inner child self and really being able to give that part of ourselves what we need. Otherwise, we're going to continue to act out these patterns of behavior that are unhelpful because it's screaming from inside of us that, like, we need to be heard. Right. We need to be validated. We need to be, you know, feel that we're safe and protected. And that's, I mean, I really feel like that's been a large part of my inner healing journey is reconnecting with my inner child.
So I think this is a super important thing because this is something that I was just exposed to in the last 2 years mm-hmm. about like inner child work. Did some plant medicine, got some like incredible therapeutic, you know, discoveries from doing inner child work. And I didn't even know it was inner child work until, you know, you go through the whole process and it was like, oh shit, like that's pretty tight. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what does inner child work look like to you?
So what I usually do is like, there's a couple things that I do. I will write, I will dialogue with my inner child. So I use my non-dominant hand as it's like my inner child that's writing and my dominant hand is it's my adult self.
That's super cool.
So if I'm having something like come up, I'll usually check in with myself and be like, okay, where did this stem from? If I connect it back to something that happened at childhood. Like for instance, the most recent one that I had was just a memory of being left at my daycare when I was like 5 years old and my dad was supposed to come pick me up and he never showed up. And so I had this like inner dialogue where my inner child was feeling like she didn't matter. She was afraid. She didn't feel that she was loved. She was afraid she was going to die. Like all these really deep seated emotions were coming out. And so I would just dialogue with her. And then after that, I do a visualization where I just picture myself like either on a beach or somewhere in nature where I'm just with her and I'm sitting face to face with her and just kind of letting her express what's going on and then asking her, what do you need from me? Is there something that I can do to make you feel seen, heard? Is there a way that you want to express yourself that you need to let this out? And I just kind of listen to what she says. And sometimes it's like, I just need a hug or I just need you to validate me and tell me that I'm enough. Or sometimes it's, I need to go play. I need to color. I need to do something to express myself, to feel that I'm allowed to be a child again, you know, like just, it's so interesting. The inner world really does have all the answers that you are seeking and connecting with that is like, it's truly the most therapeutic thing that you can do.
Is there something that, and cause you're a coach and you've worked with so many of these people, is there like a resistance and is there a resistance to wanting to go inward that you see with people? Like, yeah. And even, you have so much stuff about manifestation. Like, what does that kind of look like? Do people are just like, nah, the outer world's all there is, like this 3D space, there's nothing more to it. Like, what does that kind of look like from a coach's perspective?
There's always a level of hesitation anytime you're inviting people to go within, because it's, if you haven't gone there before, it can seem like a really daunting and scary place. And I think that's why coaching is so beneficial, because you're not traveling that journey alone. You have someone that's there with you that's kind of guiding you along that path to say, this is what you're going to expect. You know, this is what you might feel. This is what it might look like. And even though it might be difficult to traverse this in the beginning, the results are going to be, you know, infinite. It's going to be so amazing for you when you get on the other side of this that you just kind of have to let them know that it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit, just like going through the birth canal. It's not a comfortable experience, but on the other side of that is life, you know? Yeah. And we really do, because we manifest from the subconscious in order to really clear the way to the infinite possibilities that exist for you. You have to clear the gunk out that's kind of stuck within you from your childhood, the traumas, the pain that you've experienced, the letdowns, you know, the abandonment, all of that, in order to really be able to manifest effortlessly and easily, you want to have a clean slate, because otherwise you manifest the lessons.
The lessons that need to be learned.
Yeah, you want the blessings, you know, and, you know, hopefully less of the lessons. But if you learn them and you do the work, you don't have to experience them anymore.
Do you feel like you ask for lessons? Like, if everything's going well in your life, do you ever find yourself in a position where you're like, I could probably learn something else? Or like, and maybe this recent situation is like a lens into that, where it's like, you know, first of all, I appreciate you saying, like, you know, being vulnerable about it, because, you know, if you're a coach, you're, and maybe not everybody, but maybe I'm projecting here, but you might be seen as needing to have all the answers, or your life should be perfect, you know, with quotes around that, because what is perfect? But, you know, is there like situations where you're like, all right, universe, like, I'm ready for the next lesson?
I don't necessarily have that approach, but I do recognize that I love expansion. I love growth. I love change. I love, like, I just have big visions, like really big dreams for myself, that when I hit this level of like, okay, I was able to manifest my dream home. I was able to manifest like my career taking off, being, you know, manifesting this level of success that I haven't had before. But with that, even though it's amazing and I feel really grateful for all of it, there's always something in me that's like, okay, I'm ready to expand further. I'm ready to expand further. I want to be at my next highest potential. I want to be the best version of myself that I can be. And I think because I have that intention, we naturally have lessons that come with that. Because to expand, we have to oftentimes go through pain and challenges, because they give us the opportunity to really reach the next level of expansion.
My favorite quote to highlight exactly what you just said is by Carl Jung. Mm-hmm. It's, no tree can reach its leaves into heaven without its roots reaching down to hell.
Yeah.
I want to get that tattooed on my arm. I've been wanting that for a while, so I might need to pull the trigger on that soon.
That's a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so true.
I've been thinking about it for a while. Yeah. It's I mean, it's true. It's crazy how it, like, I don't know. There was another like spiritualist or mystic on YouTube. Oh, Elizabeth April. I'm not sure if you've heard of her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She was talking about how, you know, for those who don't know, she's a channeler. She, you know, has a close relationship, let's say, with like the Galactic Federation. And that's probably a lot for this channel. I love talking about it, but for some reason, the podcast hasn't yet gotten to the extraterrestrial alien nature.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Maybe this is the first podcast we get to. But I bring her up because, you know, when she's talking to this, let's just say higher power, it's like, you know, I remember one time she was talking about how she got frustrated with them. Like, how could you let this happen? How could you let all this sex abuse? How could you let all this child trafficking like happen on Earth? Like, you're supposed to be the guardians of, you know, peace and love and happiness. Mm-hmm. And their answer was very simple. It's that needed to happen. Like, it needs to happen in order for us to realize the depths of hell that consciousness can actually go to, such that we're able to transcend it.
Oh my gosh. That it just sparked something in me, because I remember when all of this was going down, like just a few weeks ago, I was getting this guidance to, like, what I do is like channel, I'll write, kind of channel like what my higher self wants to share with me. And I was asking for guidance on this whole situation. And the only thing that came through was, it had to happen. It had to happen. Whoa. And I was like, okay, like, what does this mean? And it just made me realize, like, this had to happen to get me to where I am supposed to be, to where I had to go. It had to happen. And it took away all this feeling of like, well, what if I would have done this? Or what if I would have changed this about myself? Or what if I would have shown up this way? And I just realized, like, sometimes it just has to happen.
Right. And I'm thinking back to my life in a very similar manner, where it's, you go through this, at least I went through this process of, you know, growing up, I was a software engineer, very analytically minded. You could classify me as like an athletic nerd. Mm-hmm. I
love that.
Played all the sports, but still was a software engineer. I was going through life, and then, you know, after college, straddled with a ton of debt, you know, and the whole thing was, is I got angry about it. It was like this, the first level of transcending was like anger. Mm-hmm. It was like this anger of, Dad, why didn't you tell me I was getting into debt? I had no idea what I was doing, you know, anger, anger, anger. But the next step above it is like, oh, like I had to go into debt to know what it meant to not want to be in debt. Like how do you tell someone they don't want to be in debt? It's just like, oh, I'll pay that down in the future. It's like, well, yeah, but do you realize like what you're doing to yourself and like what that feels like and the place you're putting yourself and the energy that that surrounds and the fear that it cultivates? And so it's like, you need to be there in order to transcend it almost.
Yeah. How can you learn? It's like even Abraham Hicks, like she talks about contrast. It's like, in order to know what you want, you have to know what you don't want, you know, in order to really be able to clarify the direction, the focus of what you want to experience. Sometimes you have to go through these things to learn. What other way are you going to learn other than experience? You know, words don't really teach, experience teaches.
Right. And that's so powerful because you could place that into anything. And that's actually something that I started realizing like along my, I guess, manifestation journey, where it's like, okay, I want these certain things. But then you don't realize like the, let's say the negativity or like the side effects of having those things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, you want to travel the world? Like, cool. Like I went on a path, I traveled Brazil for 2 months, but it's like, you don't realize like the little things, the little stress, the little triggers that are going to happen along that journey. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I'm super grateful for it, but it just, it puts things in a little bit more perspective of like, okay, well, I do want to travel, but I need to have this part of my life figured out as well. You know, yes. It's like figuring out a priority in a sense.
Yeah. And it you know, it goes back to one of the universal laws of the universe is like the law of polarity. We attract things in whole. So no matter what you're wanting to manifest, I think sometimes we have this idea that it's only going to be all the positive of that experience, but you literally get it in its whole. So manifesting more money and having a lot more money, well, now you have to also figure out how to manage your money. You know, there's a lot right. paying taxes. There's other things that come with that. Manifesting a relationship. Well, you're also going to be manifesting the difficult conversations you have to have. You're also going to have to manifest going deeper within yourself and having more authenticity, exploring intimacy in a deeper way. So you really do. You get both sides of the coin, no matter what you're manifesting. And sometimes it helps to take it off of a pedestal. You know, this idea that, oh, I'm going to have this amazing life, but it's also going to come with the equal and opposite side that you have to address too.
Which is a great way to put it. And that, I guess, probably transcends you to the next level of just accepting everything as it is, right? But, like there's pros and cons of everything that occurs. There's the duality, which I think this episode is going to air at the end of February. But, you know, right now we're going through the whole 2222 portal. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, it's like February 2nd. Well, today's February 4th, but February 2nd, 2022. And then you're going to have February 20th, 2022. Mm-hmm. And then February... You know, so it's all these twos, which represent the duality, right? Yes. Two is the symbol of, you know, masculine and feminine. It's that polarity that we see in our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And I kind of lost my train of thought there.
The yin and the yang, you get it. You get all of it. I mean, it really is. It's about balance, about understanding that everything is inherently balanced. Even when you have horrible experiences happen to you and you're in a really low state, it just means that there's something it's like pulling back a rubber band. When you go into the dark and you go into the pain and the suffering that you're experiencing, it has to slingshot you forward to a positive experience that equally balances that out. I mean, it's a cause and effect, karma, whatever you want to call it. It's like, you're not going to be stuck where you are forever. And the depth of the pain that you experience, it means that you're equally going to have an experience that's loving and abundant and joyful on the other side of that. And if you can keep that in mind as you're going through those rough patches and you know that nothing is permanent, it's temporary. And if you're feeling this now, then there's something so amazing that's on its way for you.
That reminds me of whenever I was going to college to become a computer engineer, you know, there were times of self-doubt that would creep in. And the phrase that I would always tell myself was, if it was easy, everyone could do it.
Yeah.
And you know, now looking back, I think everyone can do it. But the point is that, you know, that phrase alone was what like got me through college almost. It was like, anytime I found myself like, you know, in stress about a test or a quiz or, you know, not having studied, it was like, do you want it to be easy? Mm-hmm. Like if everything was easy and perfect, there would be nothing. Like,
right.
Like if there was, if you could imagine perfection, and this is what I tell people is I think the difference between utopia and dystopia, it's like a circle. I think utopia and dystopia are right beside each other, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I view this from all the atrocities of like the 19th century where, or the 20th century, where, you know, you had massive amounts of, you know, genocide mm-hmm. carried out in the name of, you know, this is going to be the best thing for the world. And, you know, it's like, you don't get perfection without the hell that comes with it almost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I think too, like, it's also kind of a concept that we have as humans. It's like, in order to really value what comes out of it, there's a part of us that has to go through the difficult, the struggle, the effort, the hustle. Because if it were just to like land in your lap, is it really going to have the same value to you? Are you really going to appreciate it? And
that's a key word.
I'm a firm believer that any time that we experience loss, it's an invitation to appreciation. Because anything that you really lose, it's like, it really does help you to appreciate it. It really helps you to appreciate, you know, what that loss brings into your life. It's like, oh, wow, that really mattered to me. That was something that was really important. And I think that the next time it comes around, you end up having more appreciation for it because you know what it feels to be without it.
Yeah, you can almost figure out the, like, if, even if you really want to go through it again, right? Or if you mm-hmm. want that again mm-hmm. specifically, or even, you know, we could take this back to a relationship standpoint. I think that it also can highlight like maybe a tweak to make with a manifestation, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Like, well, this relationship didn't work out, but looking back on my manifestations, I never accounted for that. Yeah. I wanted something physical, but there was something more metaphysical that I actually wanted in my relationship. And it goes back to it. It's like, okay, well, that wasn't the perfect person. But now you can get a little bit closer to perfection with your next manifestation, your next special person.
Yes, absolutely. I actually kept the list that I wrote. So before I manifested my past partner, I would just write a list of like every quality that I wanted. And I thought about every relationship I had in the past and the things that I liked, the things that I didn't like. And when I made the list, I really tried to take away from like the physical attributes of it and focus more on qualities. And so I kept my list and I was going through it the other night and I was looking at like all the things I'd written down. And there were a few things I was like, I manifested this, but I don't think I actually want this, you know, like someone that challenges me. I don't necessarily know that I would word it that way. Like, I don't really want to be challenged by someone. There's a different way that I could approach that. And there were just a few things I wrote that I was like, yeah, I did get that, but I wouldn't have really been able to realize that was something I didn't want unless I had experienced it. So you just need to further clarify now and just say, okay, well, I got what I wanted. And now I realize that's not exactly what best suits me. I know myself better now. Like, how could right. you couldn't have known it without the experience.
Do you think there's a level of like those words holding maybe a different meaning? Mm-hmm. A different meaning when you wrote them versus whenever it came to fruition and now you're looking back on it. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Carry different weight.
Yeah. Like, I think when I wrote it, like, I want someone that challenges me. I was like, I want someone that really inspires me to be better, you know, to grow, that really sees me at my full potential and, you know, in a loving way. Whereas I think maybe the challenge that I got was kind of like, it was more aggressive. It was more of like, I felt like very defensive, like I was having to prove myself, and I don't want that. Like, I don't want that experience.
Right. It's more of like, I want somebody to help guide in any struggles. It's not like I want them to create roadblocks or challenge me.
Like, come at me with a sword. So we have to go to battle. Like, I'm not available for that anymore.
Yeah. Energy's too valuable for that.
Exactly.
But I think that's also like such a crazy thing kind of like about these like rationalizations. It's like, once you get to these certain places, like, do you really want what you had written down? Yeah. Like, did you actually want this thing? Like, was that what you were actually searching for? And this is something I kind of have talked about with another girl on my podcast, Tiara, where it's like, you know, once that thing starts to get closer and like you're there, you're in that physical alignment, you might snap out of it. Yeah. Like I've seen in my journal, like there's things I wrote and looking back on it now, I'm like, like that I don't write anymore. And I'm like, I don't really care for that.
Yeah.
Like,
you change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. There's so many things that I've manifested in my life that I thought were going to feel different than they actually felt. Like I thought, and it's all about intention, right? Too, like when you manifest from the ego because you're trying to fill a void or you need some kind of validation or you want to feel worthy and you get it, it's kind of empty because you realize it's not the manifestation that's ever going to give you that feeling. You have to really cultivate that within yourself. And then the manifestation is like a byproduct of that. And then it's really fulfilling because it's coming from your pure intention instead of a lack energy.
Right. Yeah. It's coming from that creative, loving, inspiring source as opposed to a place of fear.
Yeah, exactly. Like I want a relationship because I want to feel loved, you know, or I want someone to love me. It's like that's, I don't feel that within myself. So I need someone else to give that to me. You know, and it's
like, I don't have it. I'm without it. I'm without it. Someone else has it.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to give me it.
Right. And you have a really rude awakening when you manifest from that level of consciousness.
It becomes something you didn't really want. Exactly. You weren't really expecting.
Exactly. So be careful what you wish for.
That's a big one. Yeah. That's a big one. But what is that? I guess, how does that work, right? Where you, if you're, because I've never really, I guess, manifested from that, right? Like where you want somebody to kind of fill a void within you. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you kind of, like, are you losing other pieces of yourself? Or like when that comes to fruition, is it that you're giving them too much power? Like, what does that kind of look like if you were to manifest, trying to manifest, let's say, love specifically, but maybe there's a more ambiguous way you could word it. But like saying essentially coming from a place of like, I want somebody to love me. Mm-hmm. You know, I place that in the external world. It's not within me. It's, I need someone else to come in and love me.
Yeah.
How does that shake you? Or like, how does that work?
So coming from that place of wanting someone to love you because you don't love yourself, you will manifest someone that doesn't know how to love you. You will manifest someone that basically reflects back to you the fact that you don't love yourself. And it happens so that you can actually realize that. And that was the experience that I had, like with the really toxic relationship. I manifested this individual who was not capable of loving me, but also was very abusive to me because that's how I was treating myself.
Okay. Because that's right? How you're actually projecting the love. It's like this. Okay. And this brings up another thing. And I know this is a very sensitive topic. If there's one thing I brought up on this podcast that's going to get me canceled, it's this idea because I don't understand it. And my sister has actually gotten mad at me for the way I've worded this in the past. So bear with me if this comes out wrong. I'm trying to figure it out. The idea of like abusive relationships, right? Mm-hmm. I personally haven't been in one. I know like a family member who has. And I'm aware that they're real and they exist. I am still mentally trying to figure out the whole idea of like where the responsibility lies. And when I talk to my sister about this, being a female, it's like the response I get back is like, oh, well, you know, you don't understand how manipulative the guy can be. You don't understand how like a controlling aspect they can have over the person. And upon my awakening, you know, it's the whole like, well, you attract what you are kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So how is there a way you're able to kind of like, you know, reconcile that for me? Like it, because in my mind, it's kind of like, well, both parties are responsible, but then like in this new age era where, you know, the female empowerment thing, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I kind of get lost in, okay, well, it's like both their fault, right? It's not, and that's where I'm coming from. I don't know where I am in the errors there. Or yeah. I'm curious how you see that conversation.
I more so like to take the approach instead of like fault or blame that it's a magnet. So we attract what we are a match to energetically, right? And so it's not anyone's fault, like especially someone that's going through an abusive situation. It's not your fault. It's not about blame. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's the fact that this is a very familiar energy for you. It feels familiar, probably because of something you've experienced. So you probably have experienced some level of abuse in your childhood and you attract an individual that feels familiar to you. So it seems like the right thing. You're magnetizing it to you. And it's unconscious, obviously. We don't attract these things consciously, like, oh, I want somebody to abuse me. but it's unconscious. And so when it comes into your life and you allow the behavior, right? Because we, even when you're in a state of being like really highly manipulated and you don't see what's going on, it's again, it's not about fault. It's just that you're allowing it to happen. Right. And you have to, the invitation is really for you to go, I will not tolerate this in my life. I won't tolerate this behavior. I won't tolerate someone treating me like this, talking to me like this. But you can't ever really develop that level of self-mastery unless you're in the arena with someone that is giving you the opportunity to say, I will not tolerate this abuse. And it's taking your power back, not just from that individual, but from the abuse that you've experienced all of your life, right? To say, this is not okay with me and I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. And, you know, I just, like I said, I don't think it's about fault. It's about having compassion for yourself in the sense that you would only allow that to happen to you unless it felt like you deserved it or that you weren't worthy of anything better.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Maybe it's like that wording of fault, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause that casts blame, that casts judgment. I think that's probably where my error is in the conversation, because like you're saying, I totally agree with the idea that you're modeling your world of love based off of what you were exposed to from a young age. Mm-hmm. So, and I know this from the people who I know who are in abusive relationships, their parents didn't have the most sound relationship. You know, they experienced abuse or cheating or negative emotions associated with that. So the mind is then like, okay, that's what love is, mm-hmm. you know, and then it gets ingrained at a subconscious level. And yeah. It's so wild how like consciously you like, no, it's not healthy, but it's that familiar feeling that you are just gravitated towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. I mean, it is like a magnetism. It really is. And like, when I look back on that experience that I had, you know, 5 years ago, the one that really changed me, it made me who I am today. Like it genuinely made me the woman that I am today. And even with my past, this most recent breakup, it is making me even more of who I am and who I want to be. It's helping me to evolve. And the only thing that I have learned is to, number one, have compassion for myself, because as I was going through the process of experiencing things and tolerating things that I probably shouldn't have, or not standing up for myself or setting boundaries, I have to have compassion because there's some level of me that felt that I deserved that. And that's right. The part of me that needs more love. That's the part of me that needs more validation. That's the part of me that needs more me, not anyone else.
The part that is, and can you just rephrase that maybe a bit? I think I missed it, but the part that's in that fear or that lacking state?
Yeah, the part that of me that feels as though I don't deserve better, or the part of me that feels that I need to fix somebody, save somebody, tolerate that behavior, that I'm not worthy of anything more than that. This is the best that I can get. There's a part of me that still believed that maybe that's the best that I deserved. And that's when you have to have radical self-love and compassion, because there's a part of me that accepted that, you know, and that's where you have to really wrap yourself in so much love and say, you know, it's okay that you endured this experience. It's okay that you had this experience, because now you get to actually really turn around and give yourself everything that you need. And you become more whole through the process.
It's like your opportunity for growth and how you're able to get that doorway to the next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. You take the blame away from anybody, right? Because it's like, if I'm blaming him for this, I'm not taking responsibility for myself. Because I could have left at any point. I could have, you know, I could have done something differently, but I didn't. I chose not to. So that's on me, you know. And I also had things too. Like it's a 50-50. If you're attracting someone like that, then you're obviously giving something off that's a balance to that. So it's a 50-50 here. And I just have to be able to look at myself. And he has his journey. I have my journey. And we came into each other's lives for a reason. And you either choose to grow or you choose to stay stagnant and repeat the pattern. I choose growth.
It's a powerful one to choose. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know stagnant can like feel, it's so interesting. I feel like stagnant feels so comfortable in the short term, but it like builds almost. And then you feel pain in a different way. Like mm-hmm. It's almost like life is, and hopefully I don't really actually think this, but I guess I'm going to say it anyhow. It's almost like life is painful either way. It's either painful voluntarily or it's just painful by happenstance. Like, mm-hmm. like you can volunteer to confront these, you know, emotions or these situations that you've put yourself in and say, how am I at fault? Like, I am going to voluntarily look inward at myself and choose the direction of resistance mm-hmm. to let the resistance go. Or I can just say, throw my hands up and just be a victim to the world in a mm-hmm. sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't go very far there. You kind of just attract more experience to be victimized by.
Because it's right. It's like, it's the self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
It is. It is. It's like you just start expecting like, oh, bad things happen to me. I'm not lucky in love. You know, you give off all these like stories about the situation and then you have more of those experiences to validate that that's true for you. And to get out of that, you really do. You have to just take radical responsibility for everything.
And it's so wild too, because I had a buddy, a high school friend. I'm back in my hometown right now for a bit. We're driving in the car. I'm driving and he starts telling me about how he always attracts bad drivers. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, there's always bad drivers around me, like da 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 da. I have even brought this up to my coworkers, and he's like, I always talk to my, you know, coworkers about like, well, what happened today in Kobe driving to school? And his coworkers, like, you know, always thought he was embellishing. So he rode in the car with him one time and they had an onslaught of bad drivers. And apparently the kid was eventually like, yeah, man, like, I don't know what it is with you, but like bad drivers are just, you know, attracted to you. Mm-hmm. Not 30 seconds after him telling the story, a guy in front of me like cuts me off. And then like another guy starts slowing down, like whenever it should be in the passing lane. And I'm like, dude, fuck, you're going to give it to me now.
Yeah. Your word is your wand. I mean, literally, it's like, You speak it into existence. You do.
It's like these words have, our words have such magical powers around them that it's like a spell. It's like the, you know, whether or not you literally believe in witches or not, it's like the construct that they're built around, the idea, the premise of what they held mm-hmm. or do is true. It's like, yeah. It's real in a sense and yeah. in reality.
You think about writing, they call it spelling. Right?
Whoa. Whoa.
We're literally spelling with our words. Like you're, and the word, it's really not the word, it's the intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We're casting spells with everything that we say. And it's a vibrational frequency you put out through that intention of the word. Just like with I am, I mean, it's such a strong vibration that it bounces right back to you. You're getting that. You're getting exactly what you're speaking. So I always tell people, like, be the gatekeeper of your thoughts and the words that come out of your mouth, because you are literally creating with everything that you're speaking, even, you know, things you're joking about, like the subconscious, the universe, it doesn't really have like a sense of humor. If you constantly yeah. are saying these things about yourself, even in jest, you're still creating that.
Before I even kind of went down this whole enlightenment journey, that was like one of the first things I think I realized was like when people would joke about like, oh, I don't even want to say it out loud, mm-hmm. but let's say joke about suicide, you know, and mm-hmm. it comes off as other people being like, oh, I want to, you know, I'm just going to go, you know, kill myself. And I'm, yeah. to me, I'm like, don't say that. Like yeah. that, stay away from saying stuff like that. Cause I know you're joking, but like, you don't know you're joking. Like your body doesn't know you're joking.
Yeah.
And the next element of that is even if you are joking, the reason that jokes are funny is because they hold some sort of truth to them.
Oh yeah.
And this is why comedians get persecuted first whenever this whole, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but like whenever the whole, like, you know, well, I don't want to be specific, but anytime, let's say that there's like a freedom of speech renaissance, let's say, or an attack on free speech, comedians are always, or 90% of the time, the first people that are gunned after. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that for a joke to be funny, an element of it has to hold true in society.
Yep.
Like it's the only way we laugh is mm-hmm. like, oh, you were able to twist this real thing with your words into something that's funny that we all know is true. And that's the irony, I think, of all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like, because the subconscious is literal, like it takes everything that you say is at face value. Like even when you're setting intentions for yourself, it's important to write them or speak them in the present tense as if you already have them, and in a positive format. Because if you're saying, I'm no longer going to smoke cigarettes, or I'm no longer going to drink alcohol, the subconscious is just seeing drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes. Like there, it doesn't know the knots and I'm not going to, or it's, so you want to really like speak things in a positive way of what the way that you want them to be, not how you don't want them to be. That's a big change and switch when you're manifesting.
Yeah, that's super powerful in itself. I remember I was looking at, I don't remember what book, I think I saw a book or something, but it was talking about how you should not, don't use the word not, mm-hmm. avoid the word not, because your brain can't conceptualize it. And I don't really know how much it holds true, but they were talking about how whenever you deal with kids with autism or learning disabilities, you always avoid the word not, mm-hmm. because their brain doesn't grab it. And so it's, and so maybe there's at least some level of like, that's how our our subconscious mind works, is it's like, you don't say like not something, like your brain mm-hmm. doesn't, you might say that into existence, but like for some reason you don't hear it. Right. And, mm-hmm. and a fascinating example of this is, I was taking a yoga class, and my buddy James, been on the podcast, if you're listening, go listen to his, cause they're incredible. He was teaching a yoga class, and you know, he was going through it into like the end of it. Vinyasa, when you like mm-hmm. lay down.
Yeah. He, best part.
Yeah. So what he said was, is as he's like bringing you into it, he's like, relax. And he goes, I want you to forget about your bills, your this, your stress, your worries. And I caught it and I realized like afterwards, I was like, hey man, like super dope class. The one thing I would point out is that like your brain doesn't catch those knots. Like if you tell someone to not think about something, you think about it.
About it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I tell you not to think about a pink elephant, you're going to think about a pink elephant.
Yeah. Like exactly. Exactly. It's to the point.
It's so wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, choose positive thoughts. Choose what you want to focus on. I mean, there's a literal like formula to this that I actually came up with it one day when I was in the shower. And this is like what sparked a whole course that I do for people to teach about manifestation. But it's like, there's an actual formula to this. You have to have an intention with focus of energy, with inspired action. And then it's kind of like, you know, there's a gestation period to where it actually becomes physical. It's just like having a child, right? There's a gestation period of when that's going to actually be birthed, but you have to maintain the intention, the focus, and take inspired action on whatever that is for you. And over time, without fail, it will manifest for you.
And I think that's what comes back to what we were saying earlier, where it's like, you know, you need to change that internal state of being mm-hmm. and allow those ripples to carry out into the universe, for the universe to do whatever magic it does, however it does it. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, it's like, we don't get to know the when or the how,
yeah.
just the what. And so it's just like, you just give it to it. You just put that energy out there. You align with the frequency at an energetic mm-hmm. quantum level mm-hmm. and just, you just be in that, and you wait for all the other past ripples to come, because they're going to come from mm-hmm. your old state of being mm-hmm. and you just let them pass through you.
Yep. That's exactly it. And just don't give your attention to it. If it's not in alignment with what you want, you just notice it, but don't feed on it. Don't dwell on it. Don't be depressed about it. Just say, oh, that's old energy. Refocus, you know, shift my focus. Mm-hmm.
That was something I got from, who was it? Joe Dispenza. He, in one of his meditations, he talks about like purposefully recalling those old energies that you had released. He didn't really word it like this, but those old energies. Mm-hmm. And then when you feel them, just say change. Mm-hmm. So it programs you that you're like, okay, when these energies come back, I'm going to realize that that's that ripple that's like coming back at me. Yeah. And I'm just going to say, nope, that's not me anymore. Like you can go through, like wherever you're going, just keep on going. Like
keep passing through. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not me anymore.
Right. Yeah. Another like really powerful tool that I use for people, it's like an NLP technique, but you know, if you've got a memory from your past or something that you've been holding on to that you just keep reliving over and over and over again, you're usually going to experience similar situations in the form of triggers. You know, you get triggered by something. It's because you have this initial memory or experience that happened that you haven't actually cleared the energy from. So what I do is I walk people back through like a hypnosis of their timeline and take them back to this experience in time where they had this memory and help them to actually learn the lesson from it, clear the energy and emotion. And then I take them right back to before that event occurred and I have them create a new memory, a new experience of like something they would have liked to experience instead. And, you know, like I said, because the subconscious doesn't know if it's real or imagined, this is a way that you can alter your past and create memories that have emotions that are actually, you know, more positive and conducive for the way that you want to feel and the life that you want to live. And it's incredibly transformative.
It reminds me. So two things that come to mind. Let's start. I don't know which one I want to go with. Do you think this is a level of childhood trauma?
Mm-hmm.
Or childhood trauma healing? Would that be an example of
that?
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that was coming to mind that was ringing true is like, I remember seeing a video on YouTube. It was like, you know, how to create a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the core concept of it is close your eyes. It's like, there you are. Like you just made a time machine because you can put yourself physiologically, mentally into the past and into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It becomes dangerous when you're doing this habitually without realizing it and, you know, becoming overworking essentially the time machine that you have in your brain,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, everything is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your mind, if left unchecked, will just run rampant. Like, it's like you're just perpetually in your own mental time machine, creating mm-hmm. these things or destroying things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're not aware that you have that ability, it takes you, it ruins your present moment. It ruins your ability to be present, to be in this place of appreciation for where you are, where you've come and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you said, I mean, everything is now. So there technically really is no past. There is no future. There's only this moment. And so if you're constantly reliving past experiences that happened to you, it's as if you were in that experience right now. You're having the same response to it. So that's why it's so important to heal from these things, because otherwise you're just like energetically still stuck in that emotional state of being. And it's difficult to create a new life for yourself or a new state of being when you're carrying all this old baggage from your past and you're living in the past.
You're just like carrying all this luggage that you no longer use.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're going to still pull from that luggage or still use those tools whenever it's like, well, bro, do you still really want to use these tools? Like, they haven't worked out so far. You got to change something up if you want something else to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a file system, right? It's like all these experiences that we've had. When somebody rubs up against us and it reminds us of this experience we had, it's what we call a trigger. You know, the triggers are the greatest gifts that we have to understand our wounds, because you're getting this information that says something is not right. It's like a flag, you know, warning signs going off that you have something within you that needs to be shifted. You need to change your perspective on something. Otherwise you're going to keep having these triggers.
You're going to double down.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become like stronger in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Have you, I don't think I asked you this before. It hasn't at least come up yet. And if you don't want to talk about it, feel free to say no comment. But have you messed around with any like hallucinogens or psychedelics?
I haven't, but I'm open to it. I feel like that's something, you know, I definitely would love to explore. I've had like hallucinogenic experiences just through meditation, like transcendental meditation before, and sound baths. Like I remember I had a sound bath in Joshua Tree. There's like this really incredible sound bath that I went to. And I just remember like leaving my body and having this like really interesting experience where I was just part of everything. And I just felt like a grid system, that we were all just like in this grid system connected. We're all just like a web connected. It was really cool. But
I bet that's wild. Yeah. But so I did a sound healing one time and I remember it was something pretty similar. Like you do this, like, were you doing like breathing at the same time, like heavy breathing with
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, it's like Kundalini energy too. And
It's like a trip all on its own. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Which I think is so wild how we're able, it's like this level of like, we've placed the ability to hallucinate into these, you know, plants, let's say. And we're like, mm-hmm. okay, like the government's like, okay, you can't use these plants to hallucinate, but you know, you can very easily hallucinate, you know, just through your breath, through sound healing, through mm-hmm. arguably right now, this is a form of hallucination that mm-hmm. I'm experiencing right now, the human, the human hallucination. I'm plugged in and, you know, just going at it right now. And so I guess I find that interesting that there's like this level of hallucinations that are allowed versus not allowed.
Well, actually, I think I took, gosh, this must have been like 6 years ago or something, but I took like Molly at one point, and it must have been laced with something because I went to a reggae concert and I remember like looking around and everybody just looked pixelated. They were just like dots and they were all looking at me. And it was one of those experiences where I was like, whoa, like this is a, it felt like a matrix. Like it felt really unreal. I will never forget that. It's when I realized that I was actually like in control of what I was seeing, what I was experiencing. And it was,
Really? So did you like dive into it deeper? Did you like try to change what you were seeing?
I tried to change it because I didn't know at that time, like I hadn't really had a spiritual awakening. I didn't know what was happening, to be honest. Okay. But then later on, I realized like I had kind of seen through the veil of what was actually happening.
You saw behind the curtains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like that's like kind of what they do in general is you get to see behind the curtains almost of what's actually occurring.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
Yeah. One of my, I remember, you're in Nashville, but in San Diego, for some reason, I thought you were in San Diego. There was like a concert they were holding and it's like usually at like a stadium or it was at a stadium. And, you know, I took LSD or something. And I remember like, I'm super like introspective whenever I, you know, do these things. And I remember that was the first time that I kind of had this epiphany of like, you know, where is like the center almost? Like I remember looking at the stadium and, you know, if you think of baseball stadium, it's not even by any stretch of the imagination. You know, you have more bleachers over here. You have different concessions over here. You know, even the field there, it's not really symmetrical. I mean, I guess it's symmetrical if you cut it down the middle, but if you go horizontally, it's not. And I remember thinking like, you know, if you were to point to the center of the stadium, there's probably 10 different answers. You know, if it's by volume, if it's by, you know, circumference or the perimeter. And that like had this huge mental flip in my head where I was like, oh shit, like, you know, I am the center of the universe, but so is everybody else. Like everything is this own unique center of the universe and the way we experience it.
Yeah.
And I think this ties into our earlier thing about how, you know, everybody's right in a sense, you know?
Yeah. It's so cool to think about like where we all come from the same source. Like we're all coming from the same energy. It's just that part of that consciousness is dropped into this physical body, which is only one point of attraction, one perspective, but it's all from the same thing. So we're just having these unique experiences individually, but that's what expands the universe.
Is that individual experience?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. That's how we're sending feedback to the source to expand consciousness through our individual perception of reality. But it's all the same consciousness, just filtered through different lenses of perception and experiences.
Right. It's almost like, I think there's like a meme or something, but it shows like a guy, it's almost like there's a guy underground and then his like fingers are kind of coming up through the ground and he looks like Diglett almost, like from Pokemon, where there's like fingers are coming up and it's like each one of those fingers are like a person. Yeah. And it's kind of like this metaphorical representation of like, we're all just fractions of the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of cool to think about. But I mean, like I said before, I think that's really where you're able to find unconditional love for people.
Because it's one of those things that's like inside and then you kind of have to go and project it without.
Exactly.
Shit. Yeah. That
mind blown.
Yeah. Doing a lot of that today, Lindsay.
Likewise. I feel like we're expanding consciousness right now.
Yeah. Hopefully we're doing it every moment, right?
Oh yeah.
Consciousness is always being expanded.
Every choice, every thought,
every choice,
all of it.
Every decision.
Yep.
Is this something that, how does that kind of like happen whenever you go into a coaching aspect then? Like I'm sure you don't just, someone comes in and you don't just tell them that, oh yeah, you're just a fraction of consciousness. Like, is there like a level of gauging where everybody is in their own path of it?
Absolutely. Everybody is at a different point in this journey and in their path, which is really cool because it makes my job really exciting. You know, it's like, I love the people that I get to work with that are so new to this. And they're like, you know, I know a little bit about it, but to me, that's so exciting because you're really just like blowing their mind every single time. And, you know, then there are people that are further along in their journey. And it's still like the beautiful thing about this. And, you know, one of the gifts that I have is this intuitive ability to really understand what blocks people. I don't know where it comes from, but I have this knowing. It's just a claircognizance, I guess. But when I'm in coaching sessions with people, I can just automatically understand what is blocking them from being able to attract what they want or receive what they want. And that, I think those are the mind-blowing experiences people have, because it's like they've been living in this paradigm for so long that they can't see their own blocks. And then when you're able to point that out to them, they're like, how did I not know about this? Like, for my whole life, you know, how was this just standing in the way? And I didn't realize it. But
how long does it usually take you to get there? Like just a couple seconds, minutes?
Usually hours? Within like a half hour.
Within a half hour of just talking to someone, you're like, oh, this is, you're being blocked here.
Yeah, I can, like, literally there's questions that I ask to kind of lead people to understand them. And then once I'm able to get clarity on those questions, I can pretty much understand what's going on. And then once you identify the block, then there's a process of actually being able to like rewire that, to heal from it, understand it. And we go through all that. And then, you know, through that peeling of the onion and that layer, then underneath that, there's usually something else. And it's just evolution of, you know, understanding yourself and healing, and never stops.
The next level, this thing, that thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. On, I always love the peeling of the onion metaphor, because it's like, you know, you get the one layer down, you're like, oh shit, like I didn't know that was what was blocking me. And then you heal it, you're good. But then the next layer shows itself and you're like, ah, shit, here we go again.
You just learn to ride the wave. I mean, you really do. It's like, this is what I was saying before. It's like, even if it's really good, you know that something is going to come along to help you grow. It's like, it's cyclical, just like the seasons. When the winter comes, we are introspective and, you know, there's growth that occurs and, you know, the inner world. And then through the spring, things blossom, the sun shines again. And then you go through these cycles of life of just ebbing and flowing, and you find peace when you just go with it. You stop resisting it. You just allow it to transform you. You allow yourself to just experience it and find the gratitude in it. And then, you know that everything's temporary. I think that's the way I've been able to really find peace with life. It's just,
it's very stoic of you, Lindsay.
Go with the flow. I actually got a tattoo of a wave on my wrist because,
oh really?
It just reminds me, like, just go with the flow wherever you're at. Just go with it.
That's all it is. Just waves going in, coming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you miss one, there's always going to be another wave coming in.
Do you feel like it's oh wow, I just lost the question. It was in my head. Bad radio.
Not have been important.
Must not have been important. Just let go, right?
Yeah. It'll come back. Ride the wave. Let it flow.
Just ride the wave.
Yeah.
That's so cool though. I mean, I think that's awesome. Damn. Wow. Now I feel really blocked. Huh? Are you able to diagnose me? Let me know what's blocking me.
Overthinking.
You get like this spark of excitement, just like three questions pop into your head, and then it's just like,
it's like, oh, overload. Shit, overload. Yeah.
I must be losing my lack of presence right now.
That just could mean that we have exceeded the expansion that we came here to create today.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. No, it feels like I am trying to force it to be longer.
Yeah, don't force it. Don't force it. I think this was expansive and great conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, hell, it was a pleasure, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to, I want to give you the floor. I'm going to grab all your handles from you afterwards, all your links. Is there anything that you want to promote people to do, encourage people, and promote? You can promote yourself, a product. I'll give you the floor for anything you're interested in.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for all of this whole experience, your time, your questions, your presence, everything. I just really, really appreciate it and truly been an honor to share today. And, you know, I have on TikTok, I do a lot of videos about manifestation. So if anybody is new to the process, they want to learn more, it's a great place to start to just like have quick tutorials and insight there. I have a YouTube channel where I kind of go more in depth on things. Everything is under the Quantum Blonde, so it's pretty easy to find. And then on my Instagram, I share more of like my personal life, just kind of like who I am behind the scenes sort of thing, as well as inspirational stuff there. And starting February 22nd, I'm opening up my Quantum Manifestation Academy. So we're actually beginning on February 22nd. And this is like a 12-week group coaching program where I literally walk you through everything that you could ever possibly want to know about manifestation, how it works from a scientific perspective, how to set intentions, how to visualize, how to really embody your desires. And I first launched it back in the summer, and it was just incredible. The people that came in are still like friends today, and it's just a great community. So if anybody's interested in learning more about manifestation, come join us.
So as a real quick note, unfortunately, this podcast is going to get aired on February 28th.
Okay, you can cut that. Yeah. Okay, well, if you want to learn about manifestation, I mean, I have plenty of resources, lots of things that you can find. And
there'll be another one, right?
Yes.
You have another quantum.
Yes, I'm launching. I launch it usually every spring, and then either summer or fall, so twice a year. So
people can connect with you in other ways, right?
Absolutely. I do one-on-one private coaching for people. If you want to just work on your own personal goals and like be able to dive deeper, have different packages. I also offer a one-on-one manifestation coaching session. If you just need some clarity on one specific thing you're looking to manifest, you can book all of those through my website.
I love it.
Thequantumblonde.com.
And then make sure you're following her, because then you'll be able to get into the next quantum.
Yes.
What did you call it?
The Quantum Manifestation Academy.
Quantum Manifestation Academy. Jane, yes. That's powerful.
Yeah. Yes.
You can just hear it in the title of that.
It's so powerful. Like the transformations I've seen from people, like just in 12 weeks, just it's incredible. You know, it just goes to show that time is only an illusion. You can create anything.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. And I'm sure that empowers you to keep going forward too.
Oh, it's what gets me out of bed. I love what I do. I just feel so privileged to be able to do this every day and make it a living. And just, it's so fulfilling and so rewarding.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, Lindsay, thank you. On behalf of the Conscious Monkey Society, very grateful for you to share it. With that being said, I hope you guys learned something today from Lindsay and her experience. Definitely go check her out. I'm going to drop all of her links in the description below. So go smash those, go, you know, follow her, check her out. She's got some dope stuff. Other than that, let's grow together.